All right, well, hi. This is Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC, starring ES and MB. My name is Emilio Sparks, and I'm looking at Michael Christopher Bongiorno.
I don't got a PhD, but I got OCD.
You know me. Listens to LL Cool J for 1 week straight, thinks he can rhyme.
The ladies love Cool James. I believe the bard LL Cool James once said, deepest of bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin.
Why is that, like, kids that, you know...
Because back in the 90s...
Kids that don't listen to hip-hop will always quote that one line.
That stands out to me. I could, like, imagine that video so well in my head. You know why? Because a friend of ours, or a couple friends of ours, used to work at a movie theater, and this was back when Deep Blue Sea came out, and I'd hang out at that movie theater and, like, drink free soda pops, and that video was constantly playing on a loop in the lobby, so I must have seen that video a million times. But no, he's I've been thinking about LL Cool James because Mama Said Knock You Out is in the trailer for Deadpool, and so I've been listening to that.
Yeah, but there's so much you can listen to from him though.
What's the one where he's eating an apple and he's like,
I represent Queen, she was raised out in Brooklyn. It's called Doing It.
Doing it well. Where is he still making stuff?
The last time he put out an album was called Authentic, and that was in 2013. I think he did a mixtape, too. I'm not too sure. But, like, the last, like, official LL Cool J album was 2013. But this is Pop Culture Mad Children, PCMC. Use that hashtag on all social media.
But, Emilio, what is Pop Culture Mad Children? What if I'm new to the show?
Well, what it is, it's two besties.
Besties is a strong word.
Shh, I'm supposed to be selling this.
Right. We're very close.
Very close. But it's two friends sitting in a bedroom that one of the guys grew up in, and there's toys, and there's comic books, and wrestling paraphernalia sprawled all across the room.
Right. We are a pop culture gagfly. If you want to hear about what's going on in television and comic books and maybe
movies.
Video games and movies especially and toys and all sorts of fun stuff.
Nostalgia,
like that.
Nostalgia.
Music, kinda.
Retro.
Absolutely.
Vintage. I'm using all buzzwords.
Yeah. We are, we're the guys. We're your guys. And we do it, I think, with a wink and a smile and with a charm. We,
A little twinkle in our eye.
I think what makes us most distinct from a lot of the rest of the internet is we're not angry women-hating neckbeards.
No.
Who talk about how Kathleen Kennedy's a SJW and she's rooting Star Wars with her feminist agenda. That's not us because we are not grown-up virgins.
Yeah. And I would much rather not work and have a woman like Kathleen Kennedy support me and my creative endeavors. And I'd be like, you go out, babe.
Yeah.
And do what you got to do. And you kick ass and take names. And when we got to go on the red carpet, I'll hold your purse while you take the photos.
Well, we're not incels.
No, we're not. For more information on this show, follow the Instagram at Pop Culture Man Children. You can use the hashtag PCMC if you want to tag us in something on the gram or on the Twitter. You can follow me at Emilio Sparks, EmilioSparks. Mike does not do the Twitter.
Here's how we do our show.
How do we do it?
We drop it every Wednesday.
Yes, we do.
And usually what we do is we have a long episode, which has a funny title. And in those episodes, we have three segments. We've got a new segment to keep you up to date on what's happening in the world of geek culture. Then we have the chill sesh.
I love the chill sesh.
Today's chill sesh, we're going to be talking about Avengers Infinity War.
Get ready.
And then we end with our current obsessions. It really was a busy news week. Yeah, I only picked out the things that would be interesting to us. This one is not interesting to me. It's only interesting to you.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Pro wrestling?
No, they're doing a new Swamp Thing series.
I know.
For the DC. DC's going to have their own streaming service, too, now.
Yeah, I got to figure out. Do you want to go half on that, or do we just find like somebody?
Is this the future now? I have to pay $8 to everybody?
You have to.
You got to sell me one more thing. One more thing besides Swamp Thing. Give me something else.
Well, maybe they're going to give you something else. It's so funny you talk about this. 3 nights ago, I'm watching some classic television channel that magically popped up on my TV. I think it's called MeTV or something.
Oh, yeah, that's like all the old Johnny Carsons and shit.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, hook the crack to my vein, and let me just, you know, just hit the plunger on the needle and just let me just, you know, let me get my junkie high. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching like this mystery thing called Peter Gunn, right?
I've heard of that, I think.
Then all of a sudden, they do a commercial. Up next, Swamp Thing.
Oh, was that the USA one?
Yeah.
What was the production value like on that?
Amateur porn looked better.
Yeah?
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah, I remember that.
But it was so cheesy. It wasn't even spooky. It was kind of like, hey.
Was it the same storyline?
Oh, yeah. It's like, hey, let's kind of make this like The Incredible Hulk starring Bill Bixby.
Yeah, for a real long time, they didn't know what to do with certain characters, but they fucking tried.
Well, you really couldn't do anything because, listen.
You need the fucking pathos.
You need the CGI, man. You know, you need the yeah, graphics.
Or you need some money. Like, that first Wes Craven Swamp Thing movie is, it looks so bad.
The second one was better.
I don't think I've seen two.
They had a better suit, and they made him look like he should be. You know, about 7 foot, about 1,000 pounds.
In the first one, he looked like he went over to Party City and got himself a Jolly Green Giant costume.
Yeah, it was literally not good at all, but I watch it because it's Swamp Thing. Because
you love your Swamp Thing.
I do. I just finished book 6.
The one-hour drama series would follow CDC researcher Abby Arcane, who returns to her childhood home of Houma, Louisiana, in order to investigate a deadly swamp-borne virus. So, but maybe, like, she's going to be, like... Like, she's like the human that we're going to follow? Well, it's going to be like a Beauty and the Beast type situation?
Well, it always was, though. Him and Abby were too hot to trot together. They were very handsy.
They were very handsy.
Yeah, they got married.
I'm just guessing that they'll get into that deep stuff because, one, we already had a show that was cheese. And, two, just knowing how much better we've gotten at how to make comic book properties, it just seems like, you know,
yeah, but
it
I'm
would
worried.
Be wise of them to go, what's the best storyline?
Yeah, but
oh,
I'm
this
worried.
One, that's
I'm,
what we're doing.
Yeah, but I'm worried that it becomes The Flash, and it becomes Arrow, and it becomes Legends of Tomorrow.
Well, it's yet to be
and
seen.
And Smallville, and Gotham.
Some of those are good. You just threw a bunch of names out there. Some of those are kind of good.
But then they also jumped the shark, though, too.
Well, I don't know. Maybe this new DC streaming service might have a totally different vibe. I don't know if they're going to have that CW cheapness to it.
And how much of your budget's going to be blown on just the actual character of Alec Holland?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
Because you got to remember, too, when he starts to figure out that he can transfer his thoughts into other plant matter, bro, that's a lot.
I don't think he's going to be the protagonist, though. I think they want Abby to be the protagonist.
So then what, it leads up to we don't see Swamp Thing for 2 seasons?
No, you see him, but I think we're not following him as much. He's in less shots, you know what I mean? He's a smoky, swampy.
Yeah, but I don't want to see
figure that she comes into contact
yeah, but
with.
I don't want to see most of her because every time she was in peril and she had to get rescued.
Well, they'll fix that
she
up.
She did some shit though. She was in some shit. Her uncle had like this weird like love affair for her and
yeah.
And then the husband was a weird drunk, kind of abusive and then she meets this dude who's made of plant and she falls in love and
I mean
he has to rescue her several times and
tale as old as time, am
oh
I right?
My God. Yeah, Beauty and the Beast.
So Marvel said something interesting today, which is my favorite Marvel character in the comic books is Miss Marvel, the contemporary Miss Marvel, who's Kamala Khan, the teenage Pakistani Muslim superhero, who's a fangirl and a nerd and has this great sense of humor and made her own costume.
But we get Brie Larson.
We've got Brie Larson as Captain Marvel. But Kevin Feige said, we have a plan for Miss Marvel.
Feige don't fuck around,
and we've
dude.
Seen that their plans come to fruition. When he makes plans, I don't care if it's 7 years from now, that plan happens. Miss Marvel could also be a really good like Netflix show. You know, I don't know if necessarily she's got to be in the movie verse.
I don't mind what they're doing with their whole rollout because they also announced 7 new movies, but they didn't announce God the damn. Titles, they announced the days.
Spoiler alert, half of the universe dies at the end of Infinity War
and I don't mind a reboot. I don't mind a reboot.
Well, I know. I believe me, all those people coming back. But I think they don't want to say that. Anyway, we'll get into that book garbage with segment 2. I've got some bad news for you. They've canceled The Exorcist. Fox went on a purge, and they canceled a lot of shit. This happens every couple years now. And
good shows that don't get enough eyes.
Yeah, it shows how desperate the old networks are for getting the kind of, you know, the kind of shares that they used to get. Even shows that are critically acclaimed, they're like, hey, we got to clean house. They canceled Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Which I never watched.
The first three seasons were great, and then I stopped watching it. But
I feel like that's a fake outcry. I see it all on Twitter. It's people back, are like, though. But people are like, bring back Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
NBC bought it.
How can Brooklyn Nine-Nine get canceled?
Well, yeah. Well, where were you when? Where were you before? Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine was canceled, and then the next day NBC was like, we'll take it. But The Exorcist is gone. Nobody wants it back. Last Man on Earth is gone. And then here's a really interesting thing.
I never watched that one either.
It was awful. The Tim Allen sitcom Last Man Standing, a different show from Last Man on Earth. Last Man Standing was canceled, even though it had high ratings, and people were saying, oh, it's canceled because it was very conservative, ideologically. But I guess now that Roseanne's doing better and that's kind of conservative, it's coming back, but Fox is bringing it back.
Wait.
So Fox canceled a bunch of their shows, and then after a year being off the air, bought an ABC show. NBC's now taking Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Everything's shaking up and moving around, and I don't think anybody's going to be watching anything, really.
Tim Allen's been consistently on network television since the early 90s.
You don't think about it, but that Last Man Standing has been on way longer than Home Improvement was on.
I'm shocked they ain't bringing that back.
Yeah, because you've got all these 90s revivals. Go ahead and bring back JTT. Let's see what Jonathan Taylor Thomas is up to.
Has he aged well?
Oh, God, I don't know.
He was a handsome man.
He was a handsome boy, let's be honest with ourselves.
I mean, I wish I looked like him back then.
I remember in grammar school, all the girls loved him. He was like a young little, like, Tiger Beat kind of heartthrob.
I mean.
Then there was the older brother who kind of.
Brad?
Yeah. He sucked. I hated Brad.
Why did you hate Brad?
I don't know. He just sucked.
It sucks a strong word.
I mean, I'm talking about the character.
That's what I'm saying.
He was like a second-rate Kevin Arnold's older brother.
Well, he was
like
more...
he was a douchebag kind of bully.
No, spiky
hair.
No. There was some glimmering hope within Brad because Brad and Randy used to team up all the time. And they used to pick on little precocious Mark.
And then he became a goth in like the last season. Do you remember that?
Well, it wasn't the last season, but one of the seasons towards the end, the season immediately following that, he shed his goth ways and became...
Because Tim Allen was probably like, what's this shit?
Yeah. Ow. And then he became more of a dude, bro, with his brother Brad.
Yeah.
Because that's what Brad was. Brad was an athlete. Brad was very dude,
Why
bro.
Why are you defending Brad right now?
Because I feel like you're giving Brad a bad rap.
Justin Roiland announced on Instagram...
70 more episodes, Morty!
70 more. Rick and Morty forever. RickandMorty.com. You and me, Morty. 70 more adventures.
70 more adventures, Morty.
I'll believe 70 episodes when I see it. These guys can't make 10 in 2 years. 70? I'm sure they signed a contract.
That would legitimately stretch Rick and Morty to 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, right now, what is there? 28 episodes?
Yeah, and it stretched out over 4 years.
Yeah, because these guys can't get in. I guess, apparently there were contract negotiations, which my guess would be Justin Roiland wanted more money.
Do you blame him?
No, I don't blame him. I mean...
Does he write the show?
The show became a meme and a phenomenon. Yeah, him and Dan Harmon together. And Dan Harmon, I bet, probably had a good deal to begin with.
Oh, Harmon got it developed. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he was the name. Justin Roiland was only known for the internet show House of
Cosby's.
Which, if you've not watched, folks.
Fucking brilliant.
So brilliant. I guess the contract says they're going to do 70, but.
I can see that. I would like that.
Of course I would love that, but a couple of months ago, the internet was saying, is Rick and Morty literally over? Is it like a 3 seasons and done Star Trek situation? And now they're saying 70 episodes. Get the fuck out of here. I don't believe it.
Well, maybe this was part of the whole thing from the get-go. Maybe they were like, let's fall back a little bit. Public interest joined up, because after the first season, nobody really cared. And then all of a sudden,
between two and three, it blew up.
It just caught this odd traction. Now, I don't know if it was because of Hulu, and then Adult Swim just constantly ran it.
Then you had the Szechuan sauce madness.
Yeah, then once Szechuan sauce madness happened, it was over.
And I'm proud to say I was there, and I'm not a neckbeard. I was proud to say that I was there from the very beginning.
I remember
watching the first episode and thinking, this is great, and it was a while before other people were into it.
Yeah.
But now they're the fans that are like, it's so smart. If you don't like it, you're not smart. And it's like, no, dummy, you fucking idiot. You're not better than people because you like fucking Rick and Morty. with your stupid Szechuan sauce. Anyway,
try to construct and deconstruct existentialism.
You want to go to Trailer Corner?
I'm ready.
I made a 180 on Venom. First, I was like, okay, why are we still making this movie now that we're no longer doing the Andrew Garfield verse? What's the point of it? And the first trailer did nothing for me. But then when I saw the second trailer and I saw the really interesting performance coming off of
Tom Hardy,
where he's doing that weird voice, I was like,
that's his American voice.
Whatever he's doing, I like it. I'm interested.
He's a good actor.
He's a great actor. He really is.
You didn't like Topher?
No, Spider-Man 3 is not that good.
I watched that recently. It does not age well at all.
You don't even need Venom in that movie. That movie's overstuffed with plots.
That's the problem.
This is going to be good. He's going to be good. You got Michelle Williams in it, which I think she's good. I like Michelle Williams.
What I'm interested in is how do they shoehorn in Spider-Man?
I don't think they do.
Tom Holland get a cameo in that? Because he's listed on the credits.
But that's weird because that's not really an MCU movie.
But he's still a Sony property, though.
And spoiler alert, Tom Holland turned to dust.
How did they get the symbiote? Was it from the Secret Wars?
It's big business.
The CGI just far and away blows away the Spider-Man one.
Oh, yeah.
We had a bad taste in our mouth with Topher.
Venom to me is like Spawn. Like when you say Venom to me, I think the 90s of comic books. Big, bloody, weird. You know what I mean? Just a weird. There's a look that's 90s.
Yeah, real muscular.
Yeah.
But what I wish was that we didn't get a origin story. It just took off. He's in San Francisco. He's on the lam.
Well, it's hard without it being connected to Spider-Man. I was impressed with the trailer Hotel Artemis, but you weren't. Or I got the indication that you weren't.
What is it supposed to be? That's what I want to know.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, is it a horror film? Is it more of a thriller?
It looks
is it
like
a dark
an action
comedy?
Thriller.
Is there more action in it?
Well, I think there's going to be chuckles in it because there's always comedy. And you've got Dave Bautista as a rowdy nurse.
I mean, listen, if anything screams ha-ha funny, it's Dave Bautista in Scrubs.
I agree.
I was thinking he was going to have Zach Braff-esque monologues in his brain.
It's called Dr. Acula. I think it's just a cool high concept idea that I'm kind of excited that it's not a superhero movie.
I like.
You know, it's a hotel, but it's really a hospital for the mob. That's a cool idea. And it's under siege by Goldblum. You know, once Goldblum's there, I'm in.
The moment we saw his face with the white coat, I was like, okay, I'm in. But what is it, though? Because is it a comedy? Because Goldblum could be funny.
It's an action thriller
and
comedy.
And plus it's an ensemble cast, too.
Yeah. You got Jodie Foster in there running around.
Which I haven't seen her in a movie in a hot minute.
I haven't seen her in like an ensemble like this. Like really like being a character in a long time. That's another movie with Jenny Slate in it.
Slate's 2 for 2?
Yes.
Sterling K. Brown is in it?
Absolutely.
It's a really good cast.
Yeah. He's also in The New Predator.
He's great.
I'm into a fun movie that's not, you know.
Did you see, well, you don't go on Instagram that often. Batista's page has...
I don't follow him.
Really, it has an interesting, I don't know, weird thing for the movie. And it's like this calm and tranquil ocean sound, and you see the water crashing, and you hear this soothing voice talking about enjoy your stay, and we're here to help you. And then there's quick cuts of just like, you can't make it out, but you could tell something violent is happening in the cuts.
Okay.
And then, like, you see a picture of Batista come up and on board, and it says, like, you know, Hotel Artemis, we're here.
Okay.
And it's really kind of fucking trippy.
I think the millennials call that viral marketing.
Very viral marketing. And the funniest part about it is you have Josh Brolin just trolling the shit out of Batista's page.
Oh, yeah. Well, Josh Brolin he should be the villain in everything.
The villain of my life.
Batista was also in that Blade Runner movie I did not see.
He played the Doctor.
Yeah.
Because
when I look at him, I think, this is a man of letters.
Hey, listen, doctors can lift weights.
The Predator looks bad.
Another fucking reboot.
Yeah, and it's the second reboot because in like 08 or 09, there was Predators, which had Topher Grace, and it was a lot like the first one. They were like in the jungle, and I actually liked that movie.
I never want that kid in a movie ever again.
He actually was a good role in it because he ended up like he was like a good guy, but then you found out he was a sociopath.
Yeah,
people sleep on that movie. People say that movie is bad.
It's not going to beat the first one.
No. I mean, look, the first one is a perfect kind of action movie. You're in the jungle, and you're Arnold.
And your muscles.
And
you got guns.
Right. And this alien is coming after you, and it's hunting you. Carl and then Weathers two is, in is it. Really interesting. Because,
Jesse Ventura's in
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. You got all governors in that movie.
Amazing.
And then two's interesting because it's in the future and it's like weirdly sci-fi and it's like
Danny
urban.
Danny Glover's in it.
Yeah. And then you've got the weird, not good movies with the Alien franchise crossovers. And so I don't know what the, I don't want this movie, but I also don't think.
Shouldn't that be a franchise that just dies quietly?
Let's take the Alien movies too.
Ooh. I don't need none of those.
I mean, there's like nine of them, and I'd say maybe three are good.
The originals.
Yeah. Actually, I'd say one, two.
Space
and
horror.
Four.
Space horror was huge.
If they just made Alien and Aliens, the first two, it would be a classic series, but then they made 45 more.
Yeah.
So I'm not excited about Predator. It literally looks bad. Like, in the trailer, you see this weird, like, you see a little kid playing with something, and it's. It's mirroring what the alien ship is doing, but the shot of the kid looks so cheap. I was like, "What the? Is this a made-for-sci-fi movie? Is this a Sharknado vehicle?"
I would much rather see Sharknado go to the big screen than sit and watch Predator.
I'll be honest with you, I have not seen.
I shut
one
the trailer.
Second of those
I shut
movies.
The trailer off halfway through. I was like, "I can't sit through this dribble. I'm not." I'm not
like,
doing it because I'm tired of reboots. I'm tired of rebooting a franchise. I'm over it.
You shut Predator off halfway through.
Yeah. I saw the original and I saw the sequel. I wasn't seeing.
But what isn't a reboot, though?
But that's what the thing is. Like, can we have some fucking originality now?
Hotel Artemis.
Outside of that, like, everything is either you have to have spandex or a cape or these weird Judeo-Christian movies.
Right.
This is
those movies make money.
Huge money.
Yeah.
They're all over Netflix now, too.
Because we eat that shit up as much as anyone else. It's just when it's a franchise we don't care that much about. We're quick to go, fuck this. Why reboot it? But, you know.
Yeah, but how many times until it proves that it's a failure that they're going to do it? Is it because they just want to continue to suck from the teat of the intellectual property?
Yeah, I think it is. I think there's, like, guys from the 80s that are like, Predator's awesome. That's it. That's it for Trailer Corner. I mean, there's other trailers, but fuck it.
I mean.
I'm fatigued.
The trailer's for fucking Predator, maybe.
Best Predator movie is Batman Dead End, the fan film, where Batman fights the Joker, the Predator, and Alien.
See, and that's not a convoluted, pushed-together plot like Spider-Man 3.
Sly was almost in that movie.
God.
And then his agent was like, you can't be in a fan film because DC's going to sue you, and he backed out of it.
Sly can do no wrong in my eyes.
Sly's Batman. I want to see it happen.
I am the knight.
If we do like a live action The Dark Knight Returns with him old and have Sly in it,
you think
how
that
great would
work?
That be? Oh, yeah. His old Batman? Oh, yeah. That'd be fucking great.
With the voice, though? Or do you think he doesn't do the voice?
What, you mean as Bruce or as Batman?
As Bruce.
As Bruce, he does the best he can to enunciate, and I think as Batman, you modulate it.
So he's like,
yeah, they'll go, we'll do it in post. Sly.
Okay, good.
Sly.
Good. I am vengeance. I am the knight.
I like that movie. All right, let's take a break. Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants.
We are back. This is Pop Culture Man Children, PC, MC. For more information on who we are and what we do, please go to the Instagram page, Pop Culture Man Children. It's not one word. It's many words, but use them.
Pop Culture Man Children. They get it.
We are on whatever podcasting streaming device you use.
You got your Google Play.
We're
you
on that.
You got your Stitcher.
We're on
you got
that.
Your iTunes.
We're on that.
You got your Spotify.
We're on all of that.
We are wherever you get your podcast needs met. we're there.
Our stink is all over.
Absolutely. That's our catchphrase. So you want to talk about Infinity War? I saw Infinity War twice. What about you?
I saw it once.
I wish I saw it once, actually, because I liked it less the second time.
That's why I won't do it.
You figured that you would?
Once the initial shock and reaction takes place, it's really no... Like,
it's not a movie. The second time I saw it, I was like, oh, this isn't a movie.
No.
This is an event,
yeah.
Which is fun the first time, because it's a, hey, look, it's that guy. Hey, it's that line.
It's a reunion of sorts.
Right. But
like,
then,
I haven't seen him since 2010.
Right. And then the second time, I actually fell asleep the second time. I hate to say that. Although I was kind of tired.
Well, it's because you kind of quote-unquote blow the load.
Yeah, it's like you can't be surprised, you know, again. You know,
no.
The things that you like about the first time you see it, they don't, you know, that cachet happens once.
Well, the part that I like, and big up to the Russo brothers, is the trailer throws you for a loop because it's a completely different movie.
Yeah, there's even shots in there that are not in the movie.
Yeah.
Like Hulk, as the Hulk running in Wakanda.
Yeah, doesn't exist.
Give it a grade, A, B, C, D. You could put minuses in there as well.
B minus.
B minus.
I'll give it a B minus.
Now let me answer my own question. The experience was an A. You know what I mean? It was like, whoa, what a great time at the movies.
But Brolin's only in it for like 28 minutes.
Yeah.
3 hour movie, 28 minutes.
He's good though.
I have fucking
to say,
show.
Yeah, I have to say he's good. You even though his. It's not about wanting to fuck death. It's about wanting to, I don't know what, save the galactic economy. I kind of like what he's doing. I kind of get...
Oddly political.
Yes. It's the kind of movie that I love now, but I wonder if in 6 years I'll be like, eh, and never look at it again. Because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work on its own, really. It's a sequel to 18 other movies, which is fine.
But you have to watch all 18 other movies to know what's
right.
going on.
It doesn't... It's not like...
It did pay off. It was the insatiable itch that was finally scratched.
Well, it is the thing that Marvel was, like, always teasing. And I like that the movie just starts. It just starts right where Thor left off. It's just like, here we go. Thor's here, and we're going to kill Loki, and... Loki, I think, is dead for real. I think Loki, we've seen the last of Loki.
Which I'm not mad at. I like that it starts with Thor... And it's like, all right, cool. It's a continuation of what we need it to be.
So really, the end of Thor Ragnarok is even more depressing because...
It's the beginning of...
Right, because what you had on that ship, basically a Noah's Ark of all the last Asgardians, and I guess Thanos murdered all of them?
Yeah.
But then again, I guess we don't need more characters.
No, there's enough. There was 75 just sprinkled all over this thing.
Do you like how they explain Ant-Man and Hawkeye are under house arrest?
But given the way that the Age of Ultron ended with Hawkeye, I thought he's done. He's got the pretty wife.
He's got to go play tag with his friends from college.
Yeah, he's got the two kids, the other baby on the way. He's got the nice little farm.
Linda Cardellini.
Come on, if I had Linda Cardellini as my wife, I
know if you've
the
expressed
house.
Your desire for her.
Dude,
before.
I'd be like, what do you need me to do? Do you want me to plow the field? You got it, babe. You want me to milk the cow?
Yeah,
you got
also
it.
Also, I mean, look, for real, I know he's got like his lovers, but he is the crappiest fucking Avenger.
He's an excellent marksman.
Which, amongst humans, is great. But you're amongst the Hulk, a god, an Iron Man, and a fucking...
Super soldier.
A super soldier.
Doesn't help.
You know,
you don't help.
You're good with the bows and arrows.
Go to a
Renaissance fair. Have a big chicken leg. The thing about Infinity War is it's one of those movies where even if you put 5 minutes of trying to think about the logic of it, it crashes. You just have to not think about any of what it is about. You have to not think about why can't he use the Infinity Gauntlet to, I don't know, like make more food or like make planets bigger. Like he uses it to get rid of half the population of the whole galaxy, which will create, it'll help with famine and stuff. It's magic. Like why can't you use it for anything else?
This movie was just to set up for the next one.
God damn it. It's like, you know what it is? You know what these Marvel movies are like? It's like when you go and you do a timeshare. You know what I mean? They sign you up, and you think, oh, this is going to be fun. And before you know it, you're dragging the kids to it. nobody's having fun anymore, but you feel like you got it because you spent the money and you put the effort in.
I want to see more. I want to know what they're doing with the Kree and the Skrulls.
The Kree are going to come in because they're a big thing in Captain Marvel.
And that's another thing. You know, you have this guy, snaps his finger.
Yes, he does.
Hundreds, if not thousands, upon millions of people wiped out.
No, what? There's like about 8 billion people on Earth, so it's 4 billion.
Yeah. So,
but 90% of the Guardians.
Yeah.
Most of the Guardians.
Most of the Guardians. So now is he the most powerful being within this universe?
Is he done? Is he in the next movie? Or is the next movie fighting him again? Or is the next movie, let's fix the problem that he caused?
I think it has to be a mixture of both. The idea that you need Captain Marvel now to come in and save the day.
Right, because the post-credit scene is Samuel Jackson, using a 90s beeper.
The magical pager, as I like to call it. That's the one thing that kind of irked me, is because you have this character being there to save the day, and it's like, okay, we need this moment, but you got to have to watch it in the next movie. So we're going to leave you on a cliffhanger, guys. And we're out. I like how it ends. I like how he's in
this, like...
Because
it kind of is like the bad guy won. It's kind of not a cliffhanger if you just accept, Thanos won. Goodbye, folks.
Well...
Go cry in the lobby, kids.
Yes and no.
Spider-Man's dead.
Because, you know...
Oh, you know, everyone who turned to dust is coming back. Look, we know that Spider-Man 2 is in production. We know that Black Panther 2 is in production. Loki's dead for good, and it's possible that Gamora is dead for good because they didn't die as dust. But still, I think you can just break the Soul Stone, and then she just pops
back up.
She's like, hey, everybody, let's do another Guardians.
But you needed Gamora to do that, though. You needed that scene to really...
Did that scene get you emotionally? Because it's still
her father.
Like, she starts laughing at him like, oh, well, you don't love anything. And then he says, I love you, and then he kills her.
Yeah.
But I knew that was happening. Like, did you ever for a second not know that that's exactly what was going to happen?
No.
Like, it didn't...
It was a little predictable.
She pulled a Palpatine. She got thrown off a high thing and died, you know. I don't know. I think it would have been more dramatic if he, like, ripped her to shreds. But I also think she's coming back. I don't know.
Well, that's why you physically can't see the ripping to shreds sort of thing, but... You know, because then it kind of is open-ended. It's like, oh, she's dead. You know,
but I don't believe how much he loved her. Like, that's supposed to be very dramatic because he loved her, but it's like,
when he's the big hand and he sees the little green hand and they hold hands and then they walk
Right, off. Him, like, meeting her. Yeah, that was... I liked that scene because it was cute. I liked little Gamora. Even though they reconned the original Guardians movie where they say she's the last of her kind, but never mind that. I tell you what, I got...
Because they wanted to show that there is some likability within the bad guy of Thanos. They wanted to humanize a little bit. That's what they try to invoke. They try to show, hey, no matter what, you're still...
He's a villain who has
two children.
Ideology.
Oh, he definitely has an ideology.
He believes in what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
And I guess he was doing that without the stones originally. Like, he was just going planet to planet and doing it. But that makes you think, why did he use Loki in the first Avengers movie?
You're not going to get your hands dirty yourself.
I think the whole story crumbles under very light scrutiny.
You think it... Why? You think it's a really easy...
I think there's a lot of... I'm not the guy to say there's a plot hole in your capes and tights movie. But there's plot holes in this movie. I mean, I think a lot of it...
Where does it stand out for you?
What does it stand out for me? It's just like, I feel like Thanos was like, okay, it's time to do Infinity War. Here I go. And he just comes out of nowhere and he's doing it all in like a day. You know what I mean? Like, you've been sitting on your ass for 18 movies and now
because
you're moving so fast.
Well, he's fed up now. And he's like, if we're going to do this, we got to do it my way. We're going to do it now. It's time. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. And besides, he had most of the stones.
He had three.
Yeah.
Right? No, he had two.
Three.
And then he gets the third one at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And then he's got to get two more.
Yeah. So he has three of the two stones.
By the way.
So he's already a powerful fuck.
I agree.
If I had those stones, I could do that shit in 20 minutes.
What worked the most for you?
The dynamic between Peter Parker and Tony Stark.
Yeah. Yeah. That works very well.
Because that...
It still works well.
It carried over from Spider-Man Homecoming.
And that's why I like that Tony didn't turn to dust. Because Tony
can't.
Yeah, because Tony is, I think he'll die in the next one. But I think Tony,
a hero's death.
Yeah, but I think Tony has to be a martyr. I think Tony has to be the last man on the field and see, why did I start this MCU? Well, look what's happened. You know, this kid that I liked died.
Well,
that
I
was
think,
probably the most emotional scene for me when Spider-Man died.
Well, because you think back to the scene where he goes, I'm the adult, you're the kid, so you listen.
Right.
If somebody dies, it's on me.
Right.
If you die.
In Homecoming.
Yeah, if you die, it's on me.
And it happened.
And then I'll feel terrible about it.
And it happened.
Sorry for yelling.
Mr. Stark, I don't feel good.
I don't feel good.
People on the internet have been saying
it was a spider sense.
It was a spider sense because no one else seems to know that they're about to disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got me emotional just because it was well performed, but also it didn't get me that emotional because Spider-Man's coming back.
Yes.
You're not getting rid of the Spider-Man.
But again, do you suspend your disbelief because you think from the character perspective, oh shit, this kid's dead?
Because
you gotta remember,
I suspend my disbelief,
you have to
and
suspend
I feel
it.
The drama of it. I feel the drama of it from Tony's perspective and going, isn't it sad for Iron Man that he like basically gave this kid everything, his suit, his other suit. He was his mentor, and he basically failed. That was the vision that he had in Age of Ultron.
Yes.
Him alone on the field and everyone dead.
So it goes back. Foreshadow.
I'll tell you what works the least for me. Fucking Vision and Wanda. I'm sorry.
Where did the accent go?
Hers?
Yeah.
Well, she's been in America a whole 2 years, so.
So it just goes away?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't give a shit about Vision. I don't like him.
You never
even
did.
In Age of Ultron, I'm like, this is stupid. But I feel like the movie wants us to be very invested in their love story. And we're supposed to be very saddened by what's happening. I agree with him. A lot of times in the movie, he's like, listen, just fucking kill me. Kill the stone. I'm not worth it. Fucking, we got to make sure Thanos doesn't get the stone. He was right.
But you don't need him.
Right. But
I mean, Vision's he's a vital cog in the Avengers comic books, but you don't really fucking need him in the movies.
No, and he's more interesting in the comic books because in the comic books, he's like, they really go, he's like Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen. They really go forward with the idea of what if you were a super genius sort of machine, whereas he's sort of just like a dude who's in love with a witch. In this, I don't give a shit. I tell you, the best scene with him is when he's getting attacked and then Cap comes out of nowhere. That was a very exciting scene.
In the book, a lot of it has to do with Adam Warlock.
Yeah, now, you read the book and I didn't. Can you explain to me, is there anything that you really liked in the book that wasn't in the movie?
The infatuation with death. The love for death.
Which is what makes Thanos... It's what drives him.
It's what drives him to do.
So
this.
He wants to kill half the universe. What
for
to,
her
to impress her?
Yes.
So it's all about the nookie.
It's always about the nookie. And you could take that cookie and stick it in your yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Thanos is definitely a big
Fred Durst fan. Could you imagine him wearing a backwards red hat?
Absolutely. If there's any CGI character I can imagine wearing a backwards red hat, it's Thanos.
Nah,
he looks
red
a little
cap.
Like Fred Durst.
Nah, this red cap gets a rap from these critics. And you can think that I'll be moving on. But I'm a sucker like I said. Fucked up in the head knot. You have no idea what that is from.
I remember that. I was there. Listen, okay. I was there.
Could you imagine Thanos walking down the street?
Yes, I could.
Singing that nookie? Or break stuff? It's just one of those days you don't want to wake up. Everything is fucked. Everybody sucks.
Oh, man.
You don't really know why, but you want to justify snapping someone's head off.
Yeah, in the comic book, doesn't he snap Tony Stark's head off or something?
Yeah, he punches Iron Man's head off. Captain America crumbles.
He punches it off.
He crumbles.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man just gets eviscerated. Like, they all systematically just get shot down. All the even more powerful beings, like all the space cats, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Celestials and the Eternals
yeah, that whole thing.
And the Watchers there just watching. So they had all that and, you know, where he took them over and then Nebula was brought back from the dead as this ugly chewing gum looking boneless, mindless nub just always wincing in pain.
Uh-huh.
And then she finally had enough and puts the... you know, somehow they wrestle the gauntlet out of his hand,
uh-huh.
and she puts it on.
Fucking, wait, can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Spider-Man had it basically off, and then fucking Peter Quill, with his fucking emotions, fucking ruined everything. They had him in that moment. They had him, and Peter Quill fucked it up.
Well, Quill's the cowboy.
He fucked it up.
Yeah, he did.
Spider-Man had it.
He did.
It's almost, the gauntlet is almost off, and then he wakes him the fuck up. That was a good plan. Have Mantis put him to sleep, fucking tie him up, have Spider-Man, like that whole plan was perfect.
Quill was going rogue anyway. You knew that.
Well, you knew after she died, it was just a matter of time before somebody tells him that she dies and he flips out.
Yeah. What did you think of the exchange between Rocket and Groot and then they reveal it on Twitter? He's calling him dad.
Yeah. You know what, though? James Gunn has got this whole thing that he's been saying that the Groot that we see now is actually the son of the original Groot. But I feel like that's in James Gunn's head and not the rest of our heads.
Because they took the twig that they used.
Right. I read it as that's Groot. Like, yes, he's young now, but I don't know. I got to say, one of the things that works the best in the movie is the dynamic between Thor, Groot, and Rocket.
I think that's a good one as well.
They're great together. When they're with Dinklage and they're trying to make the Stormbreaker.
Yeah.
I love when Groot grows his arm out to be the handle of the Stormbreaker and then he cuts his arm off. That was pretty sweet. And I say probably the biggest cheer moment for me was when they're in Wakanda and they're kind of losing, and then you see the Stormbreaker come out and fucking Thor comes out. Because Thor's really the only Avenger that is strong enough to fight Thanos.
Yes.
He was just busy off doing other things.
He was doing fucking Thor things. I like the fact that the Hulk couldn't Hulk.
What's that about? What's going on there?
Performance anxiety, maybe.
Maybe it has something to do with the fact that he was like the Hulk for 3 years straight in Thor.
Yeah.
Was it me, or did when you saw the Hulkbuster suit with the headpiece up and you saw Bruce Banner in it, he looked really bad effects? Like, I was like, it looks like a floating head in a blue screen.
It does look like a floating head.
It did not work.
No.
I was like, what is happening
here? It was all right, though, man. I didn't mind that. I like seeing them let Mark do something a little different.
You think it was him being like, hey, can I be in this movie?
No. I think they totally were just like, all right, listen. You're going to have performance anxiety and you can't Hulk out. And it'll be explained in the next movie.
Oh, you bet it will.
But, you know, for
the Hulk comes out and says no.
Yeah. For this one, what we'll do is we will put you in the Hulkbuster suit so you could still get a paycheck. How's that sound, big guy?
I like that they're at the point with a character where Banner talks to the Hulk and the Hulk talks to Banner like what happens in the comic.
I like that.
They've really evolved the character to be what he is in the comic, where they kind of don't like each other, but they're forced to live in the same body.
Do you think he's a proper representation on film of how you develop the character?
Yeah, I feel like they finally shed the, you know, the Bill Bixby of it all, and he's very
much...
That's
not bad, though. Why, you know...
No, I just think that I just think that Hulk is not the Hulk of the comics, or at least not the contemporary Hulk. That's a very different narrative.
Completely different narrative. It doesn't take from the comic books.
This Hulk in the movies, I think, is a lot like the Hulk in the comics. Also, in the movies now, there's the whole wider universe that's filled with villains. So, like, there's a use for the Hulk. Whereas in a lot of, like, you know, the first two Hulk movies and, like, the show, like, a lot of it's, like, the Hulk is the bad guy. And it's, like, you don't want that sort of Jekyll and Hyde.
But I wouldn't now say he was the bad guy.
He, you know, but in a world where you've got Thanos, it makes sense to be the Hulk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the Hulk couldn't deliver against Thanos.
He did come out in the beginning in a very cool scene when Loki said, "We have a Hulk," referencing the first Avengers movie. And then they fought, and he was kicking his ass for a little bit.
Yeah, but then...
The problem is the Hulk has no finesse. He's just blunt. He's got no speed. He's got no...
Well, that's why I wish they would do the Grey Hulk.
You think they'll get there?
I don't think so. I left the movie thinking, okay, we're going to get the second film.
Everybody's coming back.
But the question
is... But Tony and Captain America are going to die heroically.
The question is, how? And then I thought to myself, does Bucky pick up the mantle of Captain America?
Oh, yes to that. But Tony and Cap have to still make nice. Because they're still...
bickering.
Right, they're still broken
frenemies.
Up.
They're frenemies. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They have to rekindle their bromance and then both die.
Do you see them rekindling the bromance?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think that's one of the major arcs.
You think it's going to be a bro moment? Like a big bro moment?
Yeah, I think they're going to hug it out. I mean, I don't think they're going to die without mending the fence. They're going to forgive each other because they like each other.
They respect each other. I don't think it's like. I think they respect each other to know that they want the greater good for humanity. But it's at the same time, too, what principles do they use? Tony's a little bit more, I'm going to fake with the left and then hit you with the right, where Captain America believes in truth, justice, in the American way.
I like the scene where a cat meets Groot. I am Groot. I'm Steve Rogers. That was pretty good. Yeah, I always
and they're all starting to understand him too. Like, yeah, where is that coming from?
Oh, well, Groot is very similar to our dear friend Chewbacca, where some people know what he's saying, some people don't. It's never really consistent. You don't get how they do know what he's saying. Because sometimes Groot will say something and they'll go, oh, watch your language. So it's like, that means you don't just can tell from his tone what he's saying. You're actually understanding words in what he's saying. I don't get what that means at all. Go back to Star Wars. When somebody goes, who are you? And Chewbacca goes, and they go, oh, Chewbacca. Where'd they get the word Chewbacca out of his Like, I don't get it.
Maybe it's
nerd problems, am I right?
Yeah. Maybe it's because you're around them so long.
No, Rey picks it up right away. Rey starts... That's how you knew Han was going to die, because the minute Rey meets Chewbacca, she understands him. And you go, oh, she's going to be the new captain. Han's going to die. And Chewbacca's going to be her co-captain. All right, I get it.
All right, we get it. Spoilers.
I never understood how Luke understands R2-D2. R2-D2 would be like, beep, boop, boop, boop. And be like, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go to the store.
But it's the same thing. Like, I am Groot.
Yeah. I am Groot. I liked that he was teenager Groot playing the video game.
Yeah, yeah. I like the teen angst to it.
I like the spinner song.
But there was a lot of really good mashups and character dynamics that really pushed the movie along when it did lag in certain spots.
When I went into it, I thought this could be a big mess. And it could fall under the weight of itself.
But it didn't.
Yeah, they were smart to carve out little chunks. You know, this is the Thor, Rocket, Groot chunk. This is the Captain America, Vision, Wanda chunk. This is the Tony, Star-Lord, Spider-Man, Strange chunk. And those all worked as separate. Actually, you know what it reminded me more of anything? It reminded me of, you've probably never seen these, but it reminded me of the Lord of the Rings movies. Where there's like 1,000 characters, but they're like split between like 3 or 4 locations.
And they group together though as well. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
When I left, I was like, oh, well, all right, can't wait till the next one.
I've been saying this for years. All these movies is like, and on the next episode of Marvel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the Marvel show.
Tonight on a very special Marvel.
Last time on Marvel. They should start with that for the uninitiated. Last time on Marvel. A few clips from Black Panther, a few clips from Thor. Boom.
That's how they should open it up, and that's how you shoehorn in Deadpool.
How so?
Like, you just make him be the announcer. He's just tonight on a very special Marvel.
Yeah.
And you just see, like, and he gives you, like, a good 5 minutes of, this is what happened. All right, start the show.
He should just be there with no explanation of why he's there. Just he's there, and he's meta enough anyway that you don't need... He knows that he's in a movie, so you don't need any excuse. Just in the second Infinity War, he's there.
He's just itching.
He's just right there, and no one says... All right.
See, now that would be cool, because here's why. Because, you know, you had this weird triangle of love between Lady Death, Deadpool, and Thanos in the comic books.
Yeah.
You have this character.
You've also got his crush on Peter Parker, which I think would work very well because now he's very young.
Yeah.
And it would make it even more interesting.
They're all part of the same family.
Yeah.
It's obviously you don't want to touch that franchise because I think it works and they know what they're doing. But
and there is a whole X-Men-averse.
Yeah, but you bring him in. Well, no. See, I don't even consider that. I'm like, give me a soft reboot. We know what we're going to get with the X-Men.
But there's more coming. There's a New Mutants movie, and then there's a new movie with the First Class group.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let that just establish that, and then when it comes into, I guess, if we're going to do it in quote-unquote real time, when you speed it up, like, we know, okay, yeah, this is what they do.
Or they could just do what the comics do, and just, like, there are multiple universes.
I don't want that, though.
Why?
Because it's too...
That's less convoluted.
All these two parallel universes that all run with each other. I'm good.
I don't want a reboot from the get-go.
We don't need a whole reboot. You do like how you did in Spider-Man Homecoming.
That's a whole reboot.
No, it's not. You didn't see him get bit by the spider. You didn't.
No, but you do recast him.
Which is fine. Recast them.
But you want Ryan Reynolds, don't you?
I want as Deadpool, yeah, but that's the only one.
You can, so you don't care about recasting the other X-Men?
No. No. No, I don't. Keep Colossus. Keep, like, everybody in Deadpool.
Which version of Colossus? Deadpool Colossus or the Colossus from...
Deadpool Colossus.
Okay.
Keep that. But then now you change everything else up now. Hugh Jackman ain't coming back for Wolverine. Make them younger. Let's do it.
It seems like they're still going.
Does Jennifer Lawrence still play Mystique?
I don't see an end in sight for that universe. Because they've got a show connected to it, Legion. And then you've got the New Mutants coming out, which actually looks good. And then you've got Dark Phoenix, which I think they're going to do it much better than the way they did it with the third X-Men movie.
What I'm saying is, how do you now go and do these movies as well? Because now you got to worry about these movies.
Just say there's another universe and open up a gateway where, you know.
But that makes no.
Why?
No, I don't like that.
That's what happens in the comics.
Because it's too. No, it's not. They're all in one fucking universe. X-Men.
There's lots of
the
universes.
Yeah, there are. Yes, there's tons of them. But the X-Men and the Avengers.
Well, right. They were.
The fucking Bully Club. They're all together.
Yeah, but we don't have that. I don't want
to
start again.
Technically, we do because they have the checkbook. They wrote $52 billion to do it.
But it's also hard to do that because, like, it was easy to do that with Spider-Man because Spider-Man's a young kid. So you can just say, okay, this is a world where Peter Parker becomes the Spider-Man.
So you can't
do it. There was the New York adventure of the original Avengers. How do you say, like, the X-Men's supposed to be from the 60s. How do you say post Infinity War, like, now Charles Xavier is going to come in? You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a past there. They can't just come out of nowhere.
Yeah, but that's what happened with the other movies, and look how good they did. They stunk. Apocalypse wasn't good.
Apocalypse is not good, but the first two of those of the reboot trilogy, I think, is very good. I think Days of Future Past is the best X-Men movie.
But it was a lot going on, though. Like, you had to pay attention from start to finish.
Well, it was the new X-Men cast plus the one thing that made the old movies work, which was Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Yeah. We'll see.
How long has this segment been? 3 hours?
It's been a while.
We should wrap it up.
Go see the movie.
Yeah, see it. See what you think. It's fun times.
Yeah, probably.
We'll talk about Marvel again on this show. All
obviously.
Right?
All right. We'll be back. His face in the sand, not the last mafioso, I'm a MC cop, make it say go LL and do the what. If you think you cannot ride me, yeah boy I bet, cause I ain't met a motherfucker who could do that yet. Trendsetter, I'm better, my rhymes are good, I got a gold name plate that says I wish you would. And when battle begin, then I gotta join in, and before my rhyme is over, you know I'ma win. Cool J has arrived, so you better make way. Ask anybody in the crowd, they say the kid don't play.
Welcome back. This is segment 3. It's great to have you. If this is your first episode, I just want to say welcome. This is what goes on here.
Good episode to come in on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's lots of fun. We talk about all your favorite cartoon characters.
We're talking about some comic books.
Yeah, we're talking about all sorts of fun stuff.
Movies. You watching the Captain America movie, sweetheart?
Oh, it's fun. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Oh, you go first.
So, usually my obsessions aren't personal, but next, as you know, I'm a professor.
Yeah, and you remind me every day.
Yeah. You teach the same subjects, you know, every couple of years. And then every couple of years, if you're lucky, you get a chance at something new. So I recently was given the chance to teach a new course for film, and it's Introduction to Genre Cinema.
Ooh.
Which is, it's my thing. I think I even said, like, have you seen my t-shirts?
There was a Facebook post about this.
Yeah, I'm living my best life. I mean, literally a class on genre and genre cinema where I can show sci-fi and all that fun shit. This is the kind of thing I've always wanted to do. When the head of the department was like, would you like to teach a class on genre film? I said, I'm a pop culture man child.
Baby.
And then she said, "What? I don't know what that is."
Oh, listen to my podcast, Chief.
No, actually, what I said was, "Oh, thank you, very much, crumbs, crumbs,
morsels, nourishment.
I live another day."
All right, so have you started the syllabus yet? You got some movies? Because I know you're obsessing about this.
I'm in the very early preliminary, what I like to call the creative part of the syllabus, where I'm not talking about dates or assignments yet. I'm just jotting down ideas.
So what films? Rocky 1?
No. See, the thing is,
because you could teach a Stallone class.
You only have about 12 movies that you can, because you meet about 15 times and you have to give a couple tests. So you've got 12, which means
that sucks, dude.
Right, because I've got to do a Western. I've got to do if I had my druthers, it would be all sci-fi, and I would show you how a genre changes over time. But because this is an introduction class, I've got to kind of touch on different things.
So you haven't even picked the movies yet.
I wrote a list of definitive science fiction movies.
Yeah, but that you can't do all that.
No, but I think I'm going to print the list and give it to the students and go, here's a list of all the movies that you need to watch.
You should give them an extra credit.
I'm just going to be like, this is for you, from me to you. Especially because a couple of months ago, a student asked me, point blank, she was like, what movies should I watch? You're a film professor. And I was.
Did you remind her that you're a film professor as well?
Well, being that I was her professor, she was reminded. And
did you send out the e-card? Because I get one about once
a month. Just once a day, I just want to remind you what I do. I was actually flummoxed. I had nothing to say. I was like,
really?
Yeah, because when you're put on the spot like that, and they go, what movie should I watch? I'm like, I can't. Now I can't think of one movie.
I can rattle off like four. I could tell them.
Really? Well, I was able to see a few, but you know, it's like when something's very close to you. Like if I were like, Amelia, what's one WWE match that I have to look up on YouTube that is the best match or the most important match? You would need a month to think about that, wouldn't you?
You're right, because it comes down to, well, is it because of the storyline? What era are we talking about? Are we talking about the Golden Age? Are we talking about the Vince McMahon mega stardom 80s era?
Right, you got to get more specific.
Are we talking about now? There's a lot that goes into it, but if we're just going to say our favorite match, then you could just rattle off something.
Right.
So if she was asking you what were your favorite movies to watch.
No, she wasn't asking me favorites. She was asking me, like, essentials. And I had a hard time.
You don't think that's an easy question, though?
No, I
Casablanca, Rio Bravo, A Bridge Over River Kwai, Stalag 17.
What I did was I sent her the syllabus I have for my introduction to cinema course, which is Casablanca, Citizen Kane, Eraserhead, Jaws.
Everything but Citizen Kane, I would say, yeah.
You don't think Citizen Kane... People think of this as the most important American movie ever made. For you, it's not an essential movie.
No, it's not.
It's usually number one on lists.
I don't know why.
What it does, everybody else copied. So when you look at it, you might go, I'm not that impressed. But what you have to look at is every movie before Citizen Kane and how much Citizen Kane changed the language of everything.
Yes, I will say that. I agree with that. But just watching the movie, I'm just like...
Well, I could tell you my young students... usually they don't love it. It doesn't throw them.
Because they don't know who William Randolph Hearst is.
No. Whereas I say, like, my students usually always love Casablanca because it's easy to get behind a love story like that.
It is.
Here on Pop Culture Man Children, we give you hot takes like Casablanca is a good movie.
But it is, though.
Thanks for subscribing.
When I used to do the, hey, let's watch movies and chill bit with girls, and then we would do the sex... It would always be Casablanca.
Really? That seems like a sleazy move.
I would say it would be Rocky, It's a Wonderful Life, Bullet by Steve McQueen, and Casablanca.
Were these the choices you'd give women? Because I feel like this says so much about you.
Well, no, I wouldn't say, hey, listen, we're going to watch this, but...
Hey, these are the four DVDs I own.
You're going to watch this.
Do you want to watch Bullet with Steve McQueen? Oh my god. Did anyone ever say, yeah, let's watch Bullet?
Yeah, I had one girl.
Yeah, she was, can we watch The Great Escape next?
Most of the girls would pick Casablanca because they never really saw it.
To answer your question way back when, I'm really at the beginnings of making it, but it's my obsession because I'm very excited about it. It's something I want to do for a long time. there's a life cycle to a class. You teach it for the first time and you're anxious. You kind of get some things wrong, but that's okay because everything's new. You're out there on a ledge, yeah, and that's very exciting. And then the second, third, fourth time, you got it perfect. And then it starts to age, and then it starts to get moldy, and you've got to do tricks and gimmicks for yourself to keep your passion in it. But even then, once you've taught a class 10 times, you're like, ugh. So I'm excited, one, to do new class and to do something that is so close to like what our show is, so close to like what I am.
Can we do a live episode from your class one day?
I would have no problem with that, but the problem is,
but
I
we
think
keep it
law.
Related to the.
I don't think it's
related,
legal.
But we keep it related to the syllabus. You no, we just use the show as a teaching tool.
Yeah, but
episode,
I think
we
can't
lecture it.
We can't record students' voices.
Who says they gotta even be on the fucking thing? It's just you.
So
and me
so it'd be
a
so it'd be a class without me taking without me speaking to students.
Yeah, it would just be us talking.
You know, hopefully one day we have such a library that I could just phone it in and just every day play an episode. Like, listen to me and my friend talk about Thanos for a half hour.
You brought up something that I thought was interesting. You said I have to pick a Western. What Western are you going to pick?
Well, I'm not a huge fan of traditional Westerns.
The man sitting on the couch in the living room is.
Yeah.
That's why I watch a whole bunch of them.
I'm more a fan of, like, revisionist Westerns that do different things, like the spaghetti Westerns. So my favorite Western is probably High Noon.
Everybody uses High Noon, though.
Well, we're getting old. I could tell you that freshmen have not seen High Noon, and they'd be very interested in seeing High Noon.
The Searchers is a good one, too.
Oh, my God.
Rio Bravo is a good one.
So long. It's not my genre, but it's an important genre.
Hondo is another good one. God, we really did watch a lot of fucking nonsense, huh?
Yeah. You know, it's not old Thanos.
Was it because we had to because of our degrees in college?
I
took a lot of film classes.
Yeah, I saw a lot of stuff in class, but then I did see a lot of stuff on my own. There was a while when I was in college where I was trying to make my way through, I think, the AFI 100 movies list.
I won't do that.
But I'm more of a genre guy, so it's like I've seen a lot more sci-fi than I have Westerns or crime stuff. Like, I'm probably going to do Gangster, and I might show, like, the original Scarface or Little Caesar.
That's a good one. I think The Killers with Ava Gardner is good. I think you can get a kick out of that.
I don't think I've seen that.
Killers is really good. I think what would really go over in your film class is From Here to Eternity.
Yeah.
That would go over big. Big.
I don't know.
And Sinatra won the Oscar for that one, baby.
Yeah, but
doobie doobie doo.
Yeah, but it's because, you know,
Ava Gardner used her influence.
No, because they cut the horse's dick off and put it in the producer's bed.
Allegedly.
Oh, it happened.
Allegedly.
What's your obsession?
Okay. It's a TV show, not named Party of Five.
Oh, okay.
So it is called The Samurai Gourmet.
The Samurai Gourmet?
It is a food comedy.
Wasn't this your obsession last episode?
No.
I feel like we've talked
about mentioned
this.
The Samurai Gourmet because also mentioned Midnight Dine at Tokyo Stories.
Okay, yeah. Samurai Gourmet, tell me about it.
Okay, so it is a food comedy. And this is what I'm into about these things. Like, I can't sit and watch the normal nonsense on Netflix anymore. Like, I have to find things that really just start tickling my pickle, man. And this is all subtitles. You have to read.
Japanese language.
Yeah. You have this guy, and he's retired, and now he's bored. You know, his sense of purpose has ended with the job. So now he's trying to figure out his interest. Well, like any good red-blooded man, he likes to get drunk and eat food.
Sure.
He likes his comic books, and he envisions himself as an ancient warrior who navigates the tricky situations in his life via daydreams.
So it's like Scrubs.
Yeah. But for food.
But what is the plot? Like, is it just him eating?
It's a show about a retired guy eating and daydreaming. And it's
not
boring.
He has no friends?
He has a hot wife. She's not even in the show that often. She just goes off and goes, okay, I'm going to go to choir practice now. Oh, I didn't make you dinner. Here's some money. Go out and eat. Go explore the city. Because she wants him. And this is what I like about the wife. Because she is kick-ass. She knows, like, all right, dude, I get it. Like, you didn't really do anything with your life. All you do is work. Why don't you go find yourself? Go outside.
Like, is there an arc to the 10 episodes?
There's no arc. Each of the episodes is named after a specific food that
the
guy's going to
eat.
20 minutes.
Oh, so they're like little meals.
Yeah. Each episode is real sweet.
It's funny. It's pretty, and it shows like the different like landscapes within Japan and stuff like that, and how we as Americans maybe I can't speak for all, but food for us is we just consume it. Yeah, there are foodies out there that genuinely enjoy food, but the idea like you see him eat this food and you see like he enjoys every bite. And he gets really into what he's eating. Right, and he talks about how good and what tastes like. And, oh, my God, this brings me back to being a child.
It sounds very unique. We should have little parties where we screen an episode and eat what he eats.
I have severe food allergies, so most of the Japanese food is fish.
Oh, I forgot you're a weak
fish.
Man.
Yeah.
Be sure to subscribe to us on anywhere that you get podcasts.
Listen, we got the Google Play. We're on the Spotify.
We got the
We're
Stitcher.
We're on the Stitcher. We're on the iTunes. We're on everything. You want to subscribe to us
what
via...
What more do you want? You want to hold a cup with a string on it and me talking to it? I'll do it for you, okay?
I don't mind that, actually.
No, I'm fine with that. If you liked this episode and this was your first episode, you're in. This is what it is.
Yeah.
You can follow Pop Culture Man Children on Instagram as Pop Culture Man Children. You can also follow me, Michael Christopher... Is my... No, wait, what's my...
Michael Buongiorno is on your Goodreads.
Goodreads. Follow me on Goodreads if you want to know what I'm reading.
Why do I know that and you don't?
You can follow Amelia Sparks @AmeliaSparks on Twitter. You want to go bye-bye?
Yeah.
Go bye-bye.